Today is May 23rd, 2022. Bitcoin price is currently $29,134.21.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only, and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Not much. Just here in the flesh.
Well, what are you thinking of the market today with Bitcoin?
Well, I woke up and I was like, hey, man, it looks like it's rebounding. It's above 30. Mm-hmm. And then I look a couple hours later, it's like, wow, it's already like basically at 29,000 and a couple cents.
Yeah, I think it went as far down as 28,800. But I think... What were we looking at? Do you remember what it was going into the weekend?
It's been just all over the place. It's been riding between 29 and 30 for the most part.
Like, yeah.
It'll hit 30 in a little bit, like 30, you know, 400, 30,400. But then it'll drop 29 or below.
Yeah. Yeah, and every time we see the market do something like this, the Bitcoin market, every time we see it, This is where I get concerned, right? I mean, because when we see Bitcoin struggling to break above and it hits its head continually, usually, like, if there's a momentum swing behind it, like, more than likely once it breaks through, it's going to keep on going higher. However, when you've got, like, the wind and the sails is kind of getting depleted,
yeah,
what tends to happen is it's going to drop further after it hits its head so many times. Because yeah. the bulls are going to give up. They're going to be like, all right, whatever. And let's just drop it down and see where it's going to go. And they'll let it drop. And I don't know what that ground floor looks like. And, I mean, when we look at the financial markets on the whole, and I'm kind of curious on your take on this. Do you think we're looking at prolonged quantitative tightening as opposed to the easing?
I don't know what the Fed's take on this is going to be. I don't doubt that they're doing some easing right now to, you know, put some padding underneath the economy. Cause I mean, when we spoke last, we were looking at, the earning reports. I saw an article briefly talking about Walmart and Target, but they still had profits, but they missed their profits by quite a bit. And they have a lot of excess inventory in their warehouses,
which is weird.
Well, that goes to show that people are not buying stuff right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people are legitimately, they're scared, right?
You're not even just scared, like just your general groceries and gas are eating you alive.
Yeah, you don't have disposable income.
Yeah, not near as much as you used to.
I mean, because you got to think about that. Like I know this is such a ass backwards way of looking at it, but when you think about, I mean, when they always said that the economy was doing well, the economy was strong, right? Even during the during the COVID outbreak and everything was in lockdown, you had this inflation of the assets, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was just going nuts. Like, the assets were going through the roof. It almost feels like what the Fed is trying to do is, in order to curtail the inflation, they're actually dropping the assets, right? Which we're seeing in the stock market and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hurting your lower class, middle to lower class Americans the most. I mean, because all these other prices are crazy out through the roof. And yeah, they may be cracking the whip on the people that made all kinds of money during the COVID crash and all that stuff. But it's hurting all those other people more.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, that's the whole deal with the just inflation in general, is it hurts the poorest people the hardest.
Yeah.
Because they don't have any disposable income. And then all of a sudden they're making less money now in real terms. At least somebody in the middle class or the upper middle class, they have a little bit more cushion. But, you know, it just seems like they're all, you know, they're trying to have their cake and eat it too.
Yeah. No, for sure. And, you know, we've got probably another a meeting with the Fed here coming up again. I don't know exactly what the date is for that, but I'm guessing they're probably going to raise interest rates again. And I guess I think they've talked about raising it up to 10 more times, or at least the financial analysts are thinking they're going to raise it at least 10 more times.
By a 0.25%?
A 0.25% or 0.5%, like every time they do this kind of thing. But my question, and this is what I wanted to ask you, we've got midterm elections coming up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, do you think it's possible they'll raise and then right before midterms are going to drop, or at least ease them in some way, shape, or form? Because if we know we're heading towards recession, right? At least, at the very bare minimum.
Well, no, we've already shown that we've started losing. I mean...
Well, that's what I'm saying. We're heading there, bare minimum, to a recession.
Yeah, it's a question of not how much... If it's a recession, it's how bad.
Yeah. We're on our way there. And if they continue to raise the interest rates, it's going to push it there sooner, I think, in a way to put it.
Yeah,
right?
It's pushing it off the edge. You know.
Like, I mean, it's just shoving that... Or it's pushing us closer to the cliff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that they'll ease that up for the elections, politically speaking?
I think they'd try. But, okay, quite frankly, I'm surprised that this thing has lasted as long as it has. You know, ever since 2008, 2009, when mm-hmm. they've been printing money like crazy. I mean, it just seemed logical that it would eventually, inflation would catch up to us. But it hadn't for the longest time until, I mean, inflation was happening, but it wasn't as bad. The inflation was happening in the asset classes. It was happening in the stock market. Now it's starting to trickle down to everything else. And the inflation is insane in real estate. It's been insane in materials up until now. I guess lumber is starting to go down. Mm. The real estate market looks like it's finally starting to cool off. Actually, in some markets, it looks like they may be losing, 20-30% here shortly. So, I mean, that's kind of the cue that I'm looking at is what happens with the real estate. And if we see something starting to go down there, what kind of cascading effects is it going to have on the rest of the economy?
Yeah, well, and I go back to, I think the only thing that has saved the United States butt in this whole time, ever since 2008, because 2008, we didn't fix anything, right? All we did was put a Band-Aid on it and print our way back out of the mess we were in.
Yeah, they
right?
kicked the can down the road.
Yeah. So I think the only thing that has saved the United States butt is that, like, and I've said this before, is because the global economies are all doing the same thing we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that has saved our
butt. Well, every central bank.
If everybody else did quantitative tightening and they were reining everything in the whole time while we were doing all this, we would be in a much worse situation. I mean, and it's bad now, and it's going to continue to get worse. But I think global markets have kept us... I mean, when everybody's kind of doing the same thing, it keeps everybody kind of at least playing with the fake hand that they've had, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's calling your bluff yet, per se.
Yeah, but this cheap money... cheap money, cheap interest rates, because that's when you borrow the money at next to nothing. I mean, that's basically giving it away to you for free.
Right.
Dang near.
Yeah.
And that's basically been the story of the 20th century, or the 21st century. You know, ever since Bush and the crash, the dot-com bubble burst, they basically started knocking down interest rates. It's never been at, like, it was at probably 10% or something like that, roughly. In 99, 2000, and then it's been steadily going down and down and down until they were holding it down at zero. And they were trying to bring it up a little bit under Trump, but he squealed about that. He got mad because obviously it would wreck his economy, and he was bragging about the stock market, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. We don't necessarily like the Democrats, but we weren't particularly big fans of Trump either. So... I just see them kicking the can down the road. That's all they've been doing. That's all they've been doing. And it's finally catching up. And I don't think they can do it anymore. I think they're damned if they do and damned if they don't. And I don't know how much longer they can pull it off. It's been a miracle that it's lasted this long. But I don't see how our economy even survives until the election.
Yeah. Well, I think it will. I mean, I think they'll do the best that they can. And I mean... A lot of people are still the problem right now that I see, like, within the economy, like in just in our economy, like what we touch and what we feel day to day, the labor force isn't there.
the labor force isn't there. Well, here's the other thing. I mean, I'm on the agricultural side of things. I see what's going on there. Mm-hmm. It's going to be ugly come this harvest.
Well, dude, so I mean, weird thing right now, we're in end of May. It's 60 degrees outside today.
Yeah.
It's cold.
It's kind of cold.
Well, stuff's not growing the way that it normally does.
Yeah. Well, it was windy earlier this week, and it got the 300,000 acre fire going pretty much again.
Yeah, dude. The wind, I don't know if the wind's going to stop this year.
No. And it, yeah, like you said, we have this cold snap. If you started planting a garden now, I mean.
Yeah. I just see it from in the limited time that I've worked this yard, grew the grass, basically. It's like I've noticed, like, it just doesn't, it's not the same this year.
No, this spring is a weird animal.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to get down to almost 34 again tonight. We're still dropping in temperature drastically. We're not getting that nice warming trend going into summer months, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, June's right around the corner. Normally, we should be at like 90 plus days consistently at this point. I would say at least pretty close.
Or at least 30 days.
Yeah.
I mean, if your plants, you shouldn't be worried about them dying.
Yeah.
Getting frozen, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, no, it's weird. But I'm just saying, come harvest time, August, September, we're going to notice that things are way more expensive. I mean, we're already running out of baby formula, too.
Well, and that's a whole weird thing. I still don't know where to point the finger at on that, because I heard that was something with the Trump administration. I've heard it's something with the Biden administration.
Well, no, it's the FDA.
Yeah.
It shut down that plant.
But, I mean, I don't know which administration was responsible for the shutdown of the plant.
It's something that happened recent.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's definitely within the past year, so it's definitely...
We only have one...
No, we have three. It's not exactly a free market when it comes to infant formulas. Those companies basically bankroll both sides of the political aisle, and they make sure that there's no real competition.
So, but I mean, that's the thing. If like only one plant was down, why is the other two not producing?
I don't know if they can quite keep up with demand.
That's crazy. That's nuts. I haven't looked too far into it. I know that the shelves are bare. I mean, but it's across the board that way, right? I mean, everything is so hard to get a hold of.
Yeah, the supply chain is falling apart. I'm telling you, this economy is dead. We just don't know it yet.
Yeah, it could be dead men walking for sure.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's not just ours. It's global.
It's global. So, I mean, I'm just saying that by November 2022... things might be so bad we might not even have an election. It could be just martial law at that point.
Possible.
And especially with, I don't know if you've heard the rumors about the World Health Organization treaty.
Mm-mm.
No, they're talking about this treaty that the World Health Organization is doing for pandemic prevention, basically giving the World Health Organization sovereignty over every country in the next outbreak.
I haven't heard that.
Yeah. Well, and then it doesn't help that there's a monkeypox outbreak, which is kind of interesting. It's not really that transmissible.
Sounds like it was sex.
Yes.
Sex related.
Definitely the butt sex variety.
Mm. Good old monkeypox. I'm just like, the stuff that they come up with nowadays, or I don't even know
where it's coming from. Bill Gates also said recently that the monkeypox, watch out for monkeypox. And the fact that this is happening is like a lot of conspiracy theorists are freaking out right now.
Well, and the other thing that I find is interesting too. I mean, so we've got this quantitative easing, this money printing that's been going on. And then as soon as like things start to get real and real bad, like there's always something else around the corner that to keep people scared of something else, right?
Yeah.
And it's whether it was the war in Ukraine, and now we've got this Amber Heard, Johnny Depp circus going on, monkeypox.
Which is just ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, nobody's talking about the Ukraine thing anymore.
Nope. They're just talking about Amber Turd.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the whole thing. something I did want to bring up too that I thought was really interesting is Fidelity lets companies offer Bitcoin in a 401k. which is kind of nice to see. I mean, I was listening to a podcast a little bit earlier today, and they were talking about how this financial advisor was basically telling people, look, you should probably at least allocate 1% to Bitcoin.
At least.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right now in this market, I'd put probably a little bit more than that.
Well, and so, and here's the thing, right? Like, I mean, everybody, it doesn't matter what you look at right now, markets are pretty much down across the board. So, I mean, allocating 1%, it hedges people's risks in a lot of ways. But if a lot of people put in at least 1%, there's not a lot of Bitcoin out there. We go back to that every time.
Mm-hmm.
Christy Lagarde, though, on the other hand, was saying that crypto and all of the other fiats crypto and Bitcoin are worth nothing. Like, they're not worthwhile. She hates Bitcoin. She has said a few times that she hates it. And it's so funny to see that. And I mean, we'll see what happens. But I mean, personally, I've got a 401k at my job. I would love to be able to allocate my Bitcoin or, you know, some of my 401k into Bitcoin, especially right now.
No, I'd put a decent chunk in there.
Yeah.
I mean, 1%.
I would do 10 more than that.
10% minimum.
Yeah, at least.
Is what I would say right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, I mean, like I said, I'm a pessimist on basically everything in the economy right now.
Yeah.
And I think, and that's the other thing. If the economy really does fall off a cliff and then there's markets are going down, it's going to affect Bitcoin too. I mean, we're going to lose a lot on Bitcoin.
We're seeing that already.
Yeah, we've seen it, but it's going to get exacerbated, if I'm correct, that the markets were kind of just hanging on by a thread. But if people wake up and realize what's actually happened to our economy, it's over.
I think you give a lot of people too much credit.
I'm not saying they'll wake up. Well, no, that's the thing. It's not that they wake up. It's just something happens. Yeah. Like in 2008, they just all of a sudden there's no money to lend anymore. You know, it's just one of those shocks that happens, and then everyone just kind of looks around and they go, oh my goodness, and then panic sets in. That's what I'm saying. Whatever, there's some black swan that's out there that people are going to see, and it's going to alert them to things are not so great, you know.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, given you've been saying that since I've known you. Now, and I'm not saying that you're wrong, because, I mean, this is the worst financial situation we've ever been in, mm-hmm. right? Like I said, they didn't fix the crisis in 2008. All they continue to do is kick the can down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and then they've printed, like, truckloads of money. Like, mm-hmm. We've talked about this, but Bitcoin was started because the TARP bailouts, that was, like, $800 billion. It was like, oh, my goodness, this is ridiculous. But the COVID relief packages that were passed in 2020, all of them just dwarfed it.
Yeah.
They made that look like a freaking Sunday walk in the park.
Because I can't remember if it's either 40% or 60%, but I think it's 40% of all the money that has ever existed in the world has been printed within the past 2 years.
I think it's probably higher now.
And it may be at this point. But I mean, with the slowdown that they're doing, air quotes, right? Because June 1st is when they're supposed to stop their bond purchasing program. Is when the Fed's supposed to. And that could be, at that point, the catalyst that you're looking for.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. When it comes to looking at all the asset classes, I think bonds are basically the most toxic asset there is. There's the amount of debt that all the governments of the world have accumulated. There's no way they're paying that back. Even most of the corporations. I mean, they've borrowed it at basically, it was free money, damn near. And all these companies did was go back and buy their stock back to prop up the price.
Yeah, it inflates it.
But you know what? They didn't actually improve their business strategies.
Not at all.
Not at all. So, I mean, that's why it's all quicksand. It's all, everything's built on quicksand. Well,
it's a house of mirrors, right? I mean, and it's the illusion. And that goes back to the whole thing, like, with the stock buyback, yeah, you could go and you could buy back your stock, and then all of a sudden, well, guess what? Your stock is now worth this much more. But have you done anything to actually incentivize your company or actually do anything to streamline it or make it more profitable? No. All you did was buy back your stock, and that was enough to give you a 30% gain,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Well, and that's basically been the whole story of everything, especially since 2008, is the fundamentals are thrown out the window. I mean, back in the day, you would look at your price to earnings ratio, and if it was about 20, then that seemed to be like a good spot. And now the price, like Chevron, back before the 2008 crash, like oil was at $140 a barrel, and they had like $30 billion in cash. I mean, they were just loaded.
Yeah.
I mean, all the oil companies were, but Chevron was super loaded. And then you go back, then you look at them like 5 years later after the crash, oil prices were, they weren't that great. You know, they were, I think they were crashing down to like 60. Yeah, this is 2014, so like 6 years later, they had debt now. They didn't have cash on hand, but their stock price was that much higher than it was back before 2008. Yeah. So the fundamentals are jacked. Everything about this market is just a pure bubble, and the worst bubble, I still say, is the bond market.
Well, I don't disagree. I mean, well, because that's where all that, that's where all that fake money enters the economy.
Yeah, right? That's where the Fed and all the central banks are playing. That's where they're manipulating.
Yeah.
So that's definitely the most toxic asset that you could own right now.
Do you think they could just eliminate some bonds and increase all that stuff? I mean, they could do all kinds of magic stuff on their back end.
I mean, they can. I don't know. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't say they're wizards, but they've definitely kept this all the plates spinning a lot longer. If I was in charge, it would have crashed a long time ago.
Well, in all fairness, we need to, in a way. I mean, really.
Well, yeah.
At some way, shape, or form. But like we've talked about before, I mean, when we look at interest rates, I mean, really, we should be at least at 9 or 18% interest rates to even come close to combating the inflation as it is. But they're not going to do that.
No.
But could you imagine what that would do to the stock market the following day if they did?
Oh, it'd be insane.
Dude, you would have people jumping off the buildings all over again.
Yeah, that's the whole deal. I mean, when it comes to some of this stuff, I mean, how many suicides happen after all these things turn upside down? And that's the thing. People don't even realize what's really happening to the economy. They just thought they were kicking ass one day, and then they wake up the next day, and they've lost, you know, 40% of their wealth. Or whatever. Like, I mean, basically from 2007 to 2010, Americans lost 40% of their wealth.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't for the ones that didn't have wealth, didn't hurt them.
It didn't hurt them. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, because I can even, I mean, even just thinking of my crypto portfolio from the peak back in, what, March of last year to now?
Yeah.
Ooh, I took a bath. I took a bath hard, but I mean, it's still like, well, that's the gamble that we're in, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Scott Maynard, we've talked about him before, but I think it was on a different podcast. I think he, and maybe it was with Chris.
It might've been with Chris. Yeah.
I think he had said at one point, he was like, well, we expected to go do, what was it, 100, 150,000?
I thought 120.
120,000, I think is what he was saying. Is that? And then, like, immediately he recanted that not maybe 2 or 3 months later after we went to the first correction.
After the bear market set in.
Well, it wasn't even quite bear market yet. I think we'd gone up to a certain amount and we sort of dropped back down. Because you know how Bitcoin does whenever it's rising. It hits up a certain point, then it retests. It goes back down, comes back up again. Shoots above and beyond. And then I think at that point he had said we were going to go down to probably $20,000 or something like that. And that it wasn't going to go to where the 120, even though he had said it was.
Yeah.
And to me at the time, it felt like he was just trying to get people to sell. And maybe he's doing it again. But he says Bitcoin will survive, but could crater to $8,000 and won't end up as the dominant crypto, says Guggenheim's Maynard. This is coming off Yahoo Finance today.
I don't know. I think $8,000, that's pretty crazy. Though, I mean, like I said, if the Black Swan event happens that I'm talking about and everything crashes, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if everything loses 50% right off the top.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, I'm not shocked by that, I guess.
Except maybe gold.
Maybe. I bet you it would,
too. But I bet gold would still go down a bit before it rallies.
Yeah. Yeah, gold would lose its stuff, too. Because gold is just not the physical property of it, but the market of itself is BS. It's all paper, and it's not backed.
Yep.
I mean, that's the problem, right? I mean, that's the reason why I'm not big on gold, is because most people just trade in the paper, and the paper's not backed by actual gold.
Nope. Unless you actually have the physical gold itself. It's kind of like having, you know, your Bitcoin in the exchange.
It's not really your, not your keys, not your crypto.
That's the thing, though. If the market does take a downturn, what's going to happen to the exchanges? I mean, there's probably, Binance took a huge hit off of Luna.
Yeah, Binance totally did. Well, and I mean, but that's, you've got to always look at your exchanges. I mean, I don't trust exchanges for anything anyways. The only thing, the thing that I like about exchanges is it makes it convenient for the purchase of crypto and Bitcoin, right?
To enter the market,
basically. To enter the market, basically. And then it also makes it easy for, to cash back if you need to get back into fiat, which you shouldn't do. But if you have to, I mean, you have to. You've got to cover costs of other things. You can't, as much as I want to be like, hey, you should never sell any of your Bitcoin. Look, people have bills they have to pay for. If you got a mortgage you got to pay for, stuff like that, sell some Bitcoin.
Yep. Or, you know, grandma breaks her leg, you got to bail her out, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you've got to do those types of things. I mean, that, and the thing is, though, is, I mean, you've got to take it, but you've got to know when to back up the truck, too.
Yep.
It's always good to have dry powder on the side, and this is not financial advice, but I mean, if Bitcoin does drop down to $8,000, how much would I love to not have held all my Bitcoin that whole time and sold now and then buy back in at $8? But that's a risky game to play.
That's the thing, because it could drop down to 18 and then bounce to 38. And then you're totally out.
You completely lost your position. I've told you I tried that once before, or in the early days of the bull market of 2016, 2017. Man, and I just did it with like $500 at the time. Like I sold some and I was like, I'm going to keep it in cash and just wait for this thing to drop. That day, I could not stop looking at my phone to see what the heck it was doing. And eventually I was just like, I'm not getting any work done. I've got to just buy back in and just let go, right? Yeah. Nerve-wracking.
Just get back in and relax your sphincter.
Thrower does that to me all the time. He's like, dude, we should have sold at $69,000. And it's like, yeah, we should have, but we didn't, and I sure as heck am not going to sell it at 30. If I didn't sell it at 69, I'm not going to sell it at 30. And Mike, you know,
but that's, then you might sell it at 15. That's the nerve-wracking thing about this, right? If you're playing that market, that's the thing, though. If you can learn how to trade this, I mean, just today there was a $1,000 price swing in a couple of hours.
Well, and that's, but so and here's another thing, though, like another cautionary tale. BitConnect. I don't know if you remember that at all.
Mm-hmm.
So BitConnect, because, I mean, you got to remember, this was 2016, 2017. The volatility was crazy. It was swinging all the time. Mm-hmm. And they were saying basically what you did was you put the money into the BitConnect, and it would automatically trade on the volatility for you. And their AI bot was so smart, and you saw these people making all kinds of money. It was a pyramid scheme, and I knew it.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, it's only been running for about a year. I can get in on this thing, and I lost, I think it was it ended up being like $30,000 is what it ended up costing me in total. Really? That hurt.
Yeah.
So I want to trade, I want to do those types of things, but I don't have the time to dedicate to it.
No, you have to be on top of it, and you just have to know what the action's going to do, and you have to know what your risk is, and you have to have a plan of getting out in case you screw up.
Yeah. Yep.
On your options, right?
You got to set your stop losses and make sure that you're not going to take a bath when everything starts to tank.
Exactly.
That's absolutely true. Absolutely. Do you have anything you want to close with for this week? Well, and hopefully not this week. Maybe we keep on saying this. Maybe we'll get another episode.
We'll get another episode in, hopefully. Yeah. No, I do think that, generally speaking, I think it's not going to break out yet. I think it's going to keep going down. At best, it's going to be sideways, if not going further down.
The market as a whole, we've got to see some sort of a, I guess, basically win back in the sales in some way, shape, or form. And with the way that the people are treating the Fed, they're trying to not bet against it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not betting against the Fed. The Fed's going to increase interest rates. That's going to drive the asset markets down lower, and Bitcoin is clumped in with those asset markets.
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't see us doing a, I mean, I would love to see that decoupling and see us remove ourselves from the traditional markets and people just be like, well, we're just buying this. Because they could. They could. That's the thing about the markets, right? It's the herd mentality.
Well, that's the thing, though. I don't think they're going to do that until they absolutely have to.
Yeah.
But maybe this is the year that they have to.
Yeah. I mean, you could totally, I mean, and people as a whole, I mean, investors, if they just were like, okay, these assets are tanking, we can get Bitcoin back higher. They could do it.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is buy it. That's it. But
on the institutional level.
Yeah, on the institutional level, they're going to be worried about making sure that they've got their, well, they're going to be worrying about making sure that they've got their, they're not margin called and they've got their profits to show for at the end of the year. And their quarterlies and all that stuff.
But the biggest wild card is still the Federal Reserve and the federal government. What are they going to do? Because the economy is so messed up and they got their hands so deep into it. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, and again, it's not just, and it's global. I mean, it's all those world bank, you know, the bankers and everything else all combined together.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we'll have to kind of wait and see, unfortunately. I am not optimistic about Bitcoin in the short term at all.
Nope.
And by short term, I'd say at least 6 months. Like I said, I think election time, I could see them trying to pull some things to make the economy look good. Yeah. I don't know if they can do anything to make it look good, but that's where I could see them trying to pull something.
I can see them trying.
Yeah. But hopefully we'll get to record again sometime this week. And until then, bye.
Latest.